So my talk will be a little bit different from the previous one, in the sense that I'll give you some idea, I hope, some ideas that are a little bit provocative, and I try to be as technical as possible, okay? So my point of view is not to impose you my view, is to provoke you in order you have a view, okay? That's not the same. So actually, it is about a suite of informatics and distributed computing. So as a French guy, I cannot ignore what is Collège de France, of course. And Collège de France is a very old establishment, okay, that continued despite the revolution and a lot of things, still exists. And there is a sentence, so given by Maurice Merleau-Ponty, he was a French philosopher that was professor at Collège de France, and he said that Collège de France is responsible to give his attendee not granted truth, okay, but the idea of a free research. And I discovered the sentence is written, okay, in the room where we are taking coffee break, okay. There is this sentence. And also, I think that I will answer maybe the question later. What is our job? I think our job, I try to define a definition, a French definition of what is teaching, okay? Because we are nearly all of us who are teaching. And so Henri Lebesgue, the French mathematician, okay, on the theory of mesure theory, so he died during the Second World War, he said, teaching is thinking aloud in front of student, okay? And I like a lot this sentence, okay?
Because very bad evaluation.
Sorry?
You will get very bad evaluation, Lebesgue.
Lebesgue? Ah, bad evaluation, I don't know. I was not in the committee. So, first of all, a suit, okay, somewhat provocative, okay? So there is, in Collège de France, there are very well-known people, and one of the most famous people in Collège de France was Claude Lévi-Strauss. So he was an endograph, okay? And actually, he got a permanent position, okay, during more than 20 years, he was professor here. And this person, he wrote several books. And in one of the most famous books, so this book is called Triste Tropique, okay? So it's about, as an ethnograph, he spent a long time, several years, in Amazonian forest, okay, living in some country, okay, with some tribe. And the tribe was the Borobos tribe, okay, and the title of my talk, okay. So I went to visit the Borobo, and I discussed with them to have these slides. So he said, the first sentence of his book was, in French, je vais les voyages des explorateurs. It was an ethnograph, okay. So I translate, of course, in computer science, in informatics term is, my translation is the following one, a Borobo told me I hate computers and their application, okay. Really. So why? So actually, the problem is that today, informatics is eaten by its application, okay? We see more and more colleagues, more and more students, they are not interested in informatics, okay? They are interested in money, etc. And they are not interested in establishing the foundation of the domain, okay? That's important. So if you look, and it is in some sense, today, informatics is anti-Chronos. Chronos was eating his children, and now the application, the children are eating the father or the mother, okay? So I think that that's important. So in a long time ago, okay, in 1936, Turing, he created the modern informatics, okay? So he created, we know, there are the foundation of sequential computing, so we know what is computable, what is not. And at this time, there were no application, okay? So the most important result of sequential computing has been exposed, found before any application, okay? And now, since more than a long time, the paradigm changed, okay? Today, the scheme is totally reversed, okay? We have a lot of applications, they precede the theory, but unfortunately, very few applications fertilize the theory, okay? We have very few results that have new ideas, okay, to allow us to have new results, okay? So in some sense, still a little bit provocative, a lot of applications today are to informatics what sandwich loaf is to bread, okay? Okay, bread, I mean French bread, of course. So an informatics cannot be reduced, okay, as in a lot of conference, to an application megalopolis, okay? So I've seen in conference, okay, you have only, first talk is study case number one, the second talk is study case number two, actually there is no result, okay? Okay. So the important question is not only in our job, but also in our job, what is our job? So more than 10 years ago, I was asking the question, I'm a professor, so what is my job? Okay. So I have a side effect, yes, I have a salary, okay, but what is my job? So I think that our job is to understand things that are difficult in our domain, okay? Is that our job? If nothing is trying to understand what is computing, okay, no one will do the job for us, okay? Also, I think that we have to make things as simple as possible, okay? So we have a motto. I'll discuss that in conclusion also, but there is a very famous sentence by Einstein saying, make things as simple as possible, not simpler. Okay? I think that we should have this sentence in our office. Okay? And we don't have to forget that research is a raison d'être of university. Okay? Without research, there is no university. Okay? We are in a secondary school, we are repeating the same teaching every year. Why? It's because the research is important, but if you do research, even if you are not a genius, you do the best, okay, that is done in your domain, okay, but maybe by you or by other people. You do the best, okay? And you feed the student with what is the best, okay? That's very important, okay? They know impossibility result, what it can be done, what can be efficiently done, etc., okay? And this, year after year, creates a revolution in industry, okay? That's a real impact on the society is the student, okay? That's much more than contracts and... So I like this sentence by Leslie. Also, teaching is not an accumulation of facts, okay? We need to have some foundation, okay? That's important. So now let us turn to distributed computing. So I have, so that's the distributed computing for the dummies, okay? Maybe all of you know this sentence. A distributed system is one in which the failure of a computer you didn't even know existed can render your own computer unusable, okay? So in this definition, you have the time, the space, okay, and failure, okay? You have everything, okay? Now, so this, we can, because a citation from a paper by Maurice Serli, Sergio, and myself, okay? So in sequential system, computability is understood through the Turing thesis. Anything that can be computed by the Turing machine. Now, in a distributed system, computation requires coordination among participants, okay? And computability questions are totally different. Here we have too many problems that are not computable, but, and that's the important part, limits to computability reflect the difficulty of making decisions in the face of ambiguity and have little to do with the inherent computational power of each individual participant, okay? So I think we have to understand this sentence. So from where the difficulty is coming, okay? In a distributed system, the main difficulty is coming because you have to master the uncertainty created by the non-determinism inherent of distributed execution, okay? So to be more precise, so Eli speak about God, so I'm not Eli, so I don't speak about God. I speak only about the evil adversaries, okay, on the by side, or the force, okay? So multiplicity of geo-distributed control flow, okay? You have plenty of control flow, okay? Not only one node, you have plenty of nodes. Synchrony is asynchrony, okay? That's an adversary. Synchronous world is easier than asynchronous world. Failure, crash failure, Byzantine failure. Mobility, you can move. Anonymity, as discussed previously by Gadi. Dynamicity, the fact the system can increase, people can enter the system and exit it. Energy consumption, etc. So it's important point, the following. The non-determinism, the environment. This is called the environment by some people, okay? So the environment, okay, in which run a distributed algorithm, okay, is an input of the algorithm, okay? Okay, the fact there are failure, the fact messages are slow, some are rapid, etc. This is an input of the algorithm, okay? And this does not exist in sequential computing, okay? I don't answer your question, really. So, distributed computing is the added value on top of an imposed communication infrastructure, okay? That's important. So before entering in the more technical part, I would like to have a very quick look at the past, okay? And so, always taking a sentence by Claude Lévi-Strauss, during his inaugural first lecture, okay, magistral lecture, okay, he said, so in French, nous offrons le luxe d'oublier leur contribution de nos prédécesseurs. So in English, we have the luxury to forget their contribution. You have people before us who open the domain, okay? So that's important. So I don't want to discuss everything here, But here is a list of papers that I consider are very important in our domain. So the first, so the blue one are the top top. The red are the top top, and the other one are the top, okay? So with a Michelin guide, okay, you have 3 stars, 2 stars, or 1 star, okay? So I think that mutual exclusion from atomic redrive register, the detection of mutual exclusion, says at the same time, I'm not alone, okay? So there is some kind of distribution. That's the first fundamental paper. I consider that the second one is a paper by Lamport, Leslie, on distributed stand machine, time clock and the ordering of events, okay? Then I think that FLP, of course, is a fundamental paper, the impossibility of consensus in the presence of process crashes in asynchronous system. And I added also the paper by Maurice Early on weight-free computing. If you look at now with the lenses, we look in more deeper detail. I think the red, so the paper by Lamport, non-atomic read-write register, how to implement mutual exclusion without atomicity. Okay, that's a very strong paper, important, and it's all paper, you see, 74. At this time, I didn't have my PhD. Okay. So Byzantine failure, okay, the introduction. And I also think that the weakest information on failure to solve consensus in the presence of asynchrony is a very important paper. So there are a lot of other things, okay? For example, one of them, I'll discuss that quick later, distributed recursion, okay? That's important. And distributed universality, of course. So when Rachid asked me to give this talk, okay, what will be the topic? He told me the future, okay? So I think that's important to open the future, but the problem is that we don't know the future, okay? So, about the future, as you can see, I like citation, of course. Niels Bohr said, the physicist, he said, prediction is very difficult, especially when it is about the future. Okay. Okay. So I will not give a prediction, of course, that's not possible, but I'll try to give from a syntactical analysis point of view, LL of K, okay? You analyze the text, okay, you are at some point, and you look after, okay, to have some idea. So it's exactly the same, so some look ahead. Before giving my view or the problems that are important, I want to give an advice to PhD students, okay, because I hope there are PhD students in this room, okay. So my advice is very, very simple. You have to consider a good topic in a good research team, and then you have to work very hard, okay, that's all. Of course, people can ask, what is good? So what is good, I don't know. But I know what is not good, okay? What is not good is trendy, catchword, popular, buzzword, okay? That's not good, okay? So the list, okay, dot, dot, dot. And also, you must choose a topic so that will not go to the garbage. When you adopt PhD topic, will go to the garbage, okay? That's important, okay? For I was very lucky in my life. For example, I started my PhD, it was on synchronization. And then I observed that during all my life, I was working on synchronization, okay? So I think it was a good topic, okay? But, okay, so the world is distributed, okay? So distributed computing is fundamental, okay? So I want to list a few problems, a few distributed computing problems, okay? So first, distributed recursion, okay? Distributed recursion, so I think it's something that has not been very addressed today. So the first paper on this topic can be the Byzantine general problem by Lamport, Shostak, and Pease, okay? You have a view, more unifying view by that appear in by Eli and Sergio, recursion in distributed computing. And in one of my book, recent book, I wrote a chapter on that, okay? So actually, in distributed computing with failure, so considering the slide by a previous slide by Pierre, you have time and space, okay? So I'm on the red part, okay? You mean asynchrony and failure, okay? Not the other part. So the input parameter in recursion is not related to the input value, actually, in all these algorithms, okay? So the novelty is that the input parameter is related to the number of processes you see as participating in the computation, okay? Okay? So at the beginning, you say, all of us, we are here, the n, and then you will go to n minus 1 or n minus 2, okay? So this value will decrease from one call to the next one, okay, until you attain, you say, oh, from my point of view, you are this number, okay? And at this time, you start executing your code, okay? So that's, and so actually, so it is failure related, okay? And the failure is an input of the execution, okay? I said previously. Another point that seems to be important is relation between shared memory and message passing, okay? So that's a hot topic. So I'm taking an example. So something that was introduced a few years ago is a D-Solo model, okay? So if you consider shared memory, and suppose you are using the paradigm to write algorithm, you write and then you read, okay? Write and then read, okay? So in this case, due to linearizability, one of us, maybe, I am the only one, you have a net to start, I write a value, and then I read. So I see you have no value from you, there is only my value. And then another from you is writing, okay? And then he reads, so you will read two values, okay? So in this case, only one process can run solo, okay, the first one. He will execute his code without knowing there are other processes, okay? So that's the one solo. Now, if we take message passing. In message passing, I like to use the same idea, okay? So you send a message, you broadcast a message to all the other processes, and then you look if you receive a message, okay? So it is possible that you receive no message at all, okay? When you look at the buffer, okay? There is nothing, okay? And is this possible for all of us? Now, in this case, it is possible that instead of being one solo, in this model, you are n solo, okay? You are n solo, all of us. So the question is this model reasonable or not? So the consistency condition to say is reasonable or not is to say, can we express a non-trivial problem, okay, that has a meaning in this model, okay? So of course we can generalize from one solo, two solo, this solo, until message passing, n solo, okay? So actually there is a non-trivial task that resembles epsilon approximate agreement that can be solved, okay? So the model is now is D, in the D solo model, you can solve this task. Or this kind of object is weaker than read-write object, atomic read-write object, okay?
It's not an object. What do you call it? An object?
Object
is a statement.
No, I think we can discuss that during the dinner if you want, okay? I watch you terminate my talk before, so if you block me, don't create deadlock. Another thing that seems important is trading. We are in a lot of cases, we are looking for the bound, okay? In the worst case, that's the bound, okay? But in reality, in some practical cases, we are never in the worst case, we're in a very few cases, okay? So here I'm taking an example. So the idea is maybe you have to look for algorithm that when you don't consider the lower bound, they are very efficient, more efficient than we know, okay? It's not always possible. But that's an example. So in a Byzantine failure model, with T is the maximum number of Byzantine processes, okay? So the problem is to ensure that if a correct process delivers a message from another process, okay, all correct processes deliver the same message M. Be the sender PJ, Byzantine of correct, okay? So if I am correct, Eli is correct, he receives a message from one of you that I can be Byzantine or not, I have to deliver the same message and not a distinct message, okay? So this problem was solved a long time ago by Bracha in 87. And so it is optimal with respect to the number of Byzantine processes. So n has to be greater than 3t. It requires 3 communication steps, okay, and 2n square message. And actually, I work with my colleague Damien Imms, and we produce an algorithm that requires only 2 communication steps, okay, half of the message, only N2 and not 2N2, but we have to pay a price, of course. And the price is N has to be greater than 5T, okay? So from a T-resilience point of view, it is not optimal, but for a time complexity point of view, it is optimal, okay? So I think there is something interesting to look at, trading T-resilience for efficiency. So this, still another citation. Informatics, this has been said before me, okay, today, but informatics is the science of abstraction, okay? So this is a sentence by Michael Fisher and Michael Merritt that appeared in Distributed Computing a long time ago. So informatics is the science of abstraction, and the main difficulty consists in providing users with a desired level of abstraction and generality, so one that is broad enough to encompass interesting new situations, but yet specific enough to address crucial issues, okay? So it has not to be trivial, of course. So classical example are sequential programming language. We are more comfortable in variety program with a high level language than in assembly language, of course. In other synchronization, for example, the transactional memory approach, okay, is more comfortable than using locks directly. And in distributed computing, so we have communication abstraction, agreement objects, symmetric breaking objects, etc., in the presence of adversary. Okay, so I repeating, the environment is an input of the algorithm. So something that seems for me important is between communication abstraction, okay, on one side, reliable broadcast, causal order broadcast, total order, for example, and communication abstraction, and sorry, an agreement object or agreement abstraction, there is some match, okay? So we're interested in finding this match. For example, in sequential programming, as a lesson number one, okay, in programming, you learn that you have data structure, okay, on one side. On the other side, we have control structure, okay? You have to define very nicely the data structure, of course, and to use the appropriate control structure to address the data structure, okay? For example, if you have an array, you are using a loop. You have a tree, you are using a recursion, okay? So you have a marriage, okay, between data structure and control structure. So here is the same. So the result is the following. The result is, if you take consensus, so this is well known, is equivalent, so you have a coin, and you have two faces of the coin, okay? So one face is the agreement part, the other face is the communication part, face, okay? So one of them is to be given as the upper layer, one of them is given by the lower layer, okay? But actually, it's the same. So consensus is total order broadcast, okay? So if you have consensus, you can implement total order broadcast, and if you have total order broadcast, you can implement consensus. Causal memory is the same, okay? If you want to implement a snapshot object, okay, you can do that with send and receive, but there are a more appropriate communication abstraction called SCD. I'm not sure I will have the time to describe it. And you have KSET agreement, okay? And actually, at this 2 years ago, we presented a communication abstraction called KBO broadcast, okay? If you have this abstraction, okay, you can solve very easily KSET agreement. If you have KSET agreement, you can build this communication abstraction, okay? So actually, it is from a computability point of view, they are the same, okay? With one of them, you can build the other one, okay? So, topics that are important, for example, one of them is, what is the weakest value detector for KSET agreement in message passing, okay? This is an open problem, okay? So the weakest agreement for KSET agreement, we propose value, and we can decide on at most K distinct value, okay? So if you take K equal 1, you have consensus, okay? If you take K equal N, the problem is trivial. You decide your value, okay? So the weakest value detector for KSET agreement in shared memory is known, okay? It has been proved by Peter Kuznetsov and Eli Gavny. If you look for message passing, the case K equal 1 is known, is omega, okay, the value detector by Chandra, Azilio, Kozentweg. And if you look at N minus 1, okay, it is known also, it has been proposed by Carole Delporte, Hugues Fauconnier, and Rachid Gheraoui, okay. But in between, for message passing, we don't know what is the weakest value detector, okay, if you want to solve KSET agreement, okay. So it's a long-lasting problem. Anonymity, so I won't discuss anonymity because it has been done previously by Gadi, okay, on the sense Animus memory, okay, that's a new idea to exploit. Also, we are looking, I think an important problem is to unify the notion of process adversary and the notion of message adversary, okay. So one is looking on the computation side, the other one is looking on the communication side, but is there a way to unify the two notions, okay? How long? So, also, So something that seems important is to look, so we discussed today a lot of objects that are defined by a sequential specification, okay? With consistency conditions, such as linearizability, quad bin, sequential consistency, etc. So what about objects that have no sequential specification, okay? So you have distributed object. So for sequential specification, you have plenty of results, okay? For non-sequential specification, we have very few results, okay? So I will present shortly a proposal done by Armando Castaneda, Sergio Radbon, and myself, okay, that appeared recently. So what is the idea? Suppose a simple example, okay? You have three processes, P, Q, R, okay? And you have only one operation. So it's written right snapshot, but you have to understand right read, okay? So what is the idea? You write a value in a set, for example, and you obtain the value of the set, okay? Or a multiset, okay, anyway, okay? And so, suppose, due to the execution, the first write snapshot and the second one here, okay, are concurrent, okay, the blue part, they occur at the same time, okay? So, logically, the first write snapshot, he write one, but it output 1, 2, okay? Because this is a two that has been written, okay? So it output 1, 2. And the second one, he sees the one and the two, so it output 1, 2 also, okay? And the third one, he writes 3, but it output 1, 2, 3 because what is reading from the memory, okay? But from a linear visibility point of view, it's not possible to linearize the first write snapshot before the second one, okay? Because if you linearize first, he is returning 1 and 2, okay? So he knows the second operation has been invoked, okay? So it cannot be linearized, that's not possible. Okay, so one idea, so this was done a long time ago, was to extend linearizability or atomicity to set linearizability. Set linearizability saying, I can linearize several operations at the same point of the time, at the same point of the time. So the right one you see is the right two, everything appear, the green arrow, appear at the same time, okay, and so of course, one right one, one right two, both of them obtain 1, 2, okay? But we can complicate, and suppose this case in which the second right snapshot, okay, it takes a long time, okay? So the first one is returning 1, 2, and the second one, you see the right of the three, of value three, is returning 1, 2, 3, okay? And the third is returning 1, 2, 3, okay? So actually, this cannot be solved by saying set linearizability, okay? Set linearizability is a two-week consistency condition to capture this phenomenon, okay? So actually, for that, we introduce interval linearizability that is able to express and to capture this kind of property, okay? So it's important to say that here, everything is noticed as a sequence, okay? Okay, another thing that I think is important is the difference. Maybe I'm the only person to think that, but I think that there is a big confusion between parallelism and distributed computing. Very big confusion, okay? I see it in a lot of paper, they are using parallelism to say distribution, okay, or distributed, or vice versa, okay? Or to say anything, okay? So what is parallel computing, okay? Actually, parallel computing, the aim is to be efficient. And what you have to do, you have a problem to solve, you decompose the problem, the input of the problem in parts that are independent, and as soon as you have independent, okay, you can ask this thing pop computer to solve each part independently, okay? And then to reunify the result if needed, okay? So so parallel computing, I don't know a problem, okay, that is solvable in parallel computing, that is not solvable sequentially, assuming you have all the time you need, okay? Okay? Okay. Now, distributed computing, it is exactly the opposite of distributed computing. In distributed computing, the constraint are imposed by the environment. There is a computer in Paris, there is a computer in Lausanne, there is a computer in Tel Aviv, there is a computer in New York, another one in Moscow, etc. It's not a design choice that's imposed to us, okay? So that's an application that is running, okay? And this creates, you remember the notion of environment, you have to master the uncertainty created by the adversary, okay? So the behavior of the environment is an input, okay? And I'm discovering, for example, a lot of people, okay, now, they parallelize and they discover checkpointing, okay, in parallelism. What has been done in distributed computing 20 years ago, okay? So there is a lot of effort, a lot of time, okay? Now, I think something that also that is important, I'll discuss only one point, the one written Affek and Gavny, because I think that that's an important paper. The rest, okay, is a flower to make things nicer. So what is in this work? So I'm speaking now is under the control and Eli and Afek. Okay, so if I'm doing a mistake, certainly I will learn that very quickly. So what's the show? I'm taking two models. So the asynchronous read-write model, wait-free. It means that you can read-write in the shared memory, okay? We can read-write, okay? And all the processes except one may crash, okay? So people, we know, wait-free read-write model. Okay? On the other side, I'm taking another model, SMP, synchronous message passing, okay? So what is the model? The model is no failure for the moment, no failure. The processes execute round, synchronous round. At the beginning of a round, you send a message to your neighbors, okay? You receive a message from your neighbors, you do a local computation. When the first round is terminated, the process enters the second round, okay? So this model is familiar in the graph community. And they introduce the notion of an adversary and the adversary tour, okay, for a tournament, okay, I think, okay? So what is the adversary? The adversary, during a round, for example, Eli is one of my abo, I send him a message, he send me a message, okay? And the adversary can suppress one of the messages, either the message from him to me or to me from him, okay? That's what he can do, okay? Okay, and that's all, okay? So he can suppress no message at every round or one message on each link, okay? That's all. And this shows that, actually, the problem, the class of tasks you can solve in one model can be solved in the other model, okay? And vice versa. So any problem solvable in one of these models can be solved in the other model, okay? And then this has been a little bit extended to other particular cases, okay? So I think that in distributed computing, you have two famous people. One is Dijkstra, okay. And the other one is Leslie, okay, of course. So I added not from Dijkstra to Lamport, and of course we have our ego, okay, so not only Lamport, and all of us, of course, each of us, okay. So, and we have to better understand so the path going from mutual exclusion to consensus, okay. I think that's the two keystones of distributed computing, okay, we have to understand. And actually, I can translate. We can go from physical resource, mutual exclusion, okay, to data virtualization, okay. Now, a sequence of bits is purely virtual, okay. So, distributed state machine, okay, that's the concept, okay. And at the end, we have consensus, okay. So, consensus is a kind of extension of mutual exclusion in the case of synchronous, asynchrony, okay. So we don't synchronize physically the processes, okay. The synchronization is only virtual, okay. So this will appear in a paper. So maybe I'm skipping this case to go to the conclusion. Actually, it's not to terminate on time, okay? It's to prevent question from Eli. So to conclude, it seems so for me the Holy Grail, okay, is there is no today great unified model. In circuit computing, you have the Turing machine, okay? And the same for parallelism, okay? In our domain, we don't still have the unique model from which everything can be explained, okay? So in circuit computing, you explain to students finite set automaton, pushdown automata, etc., until Turing machine, okay? Everything. So if we finite set automaton, we have a lot of theorem, we have less theorem for Turing machine, okay? So you use the model that is sweeter to your problem, okay, to be efficient, okay. So that's important, and for me, that the person will be to have a grid unified model, as in physics. In physics, they are looking also for the grid unified model, okay. Okay, I think maybe there is no, okay, but you have to show there is no, okay. But I think this deserves to spend energy.
The message adversary is the unified model.
I'm sorry, I don't listen very well. So our job also, I think, is looking for simplicity. I'm repeating, we have half researcher, half teacher, okay? So if you explain difficult things to students, in some cases the student is stupid, okay, axiom. In some cases this is not, okay? So you have to consider this case, and you have to mix. If we are making things simple, okay, we are not doing our job. Okay, that's very, very important for me. So I have a first citation, this is the one by Einstein. Then The one by Alan Perlis, the first Turing Award, he said, simplicity does not precede complexity, but follows it, okay? It's not, in French we say you are building an usine à gaz, okay? And then maybe you have something much simpler after 5 years. And this joined the presentation of, I don't remember, of Eli about the book. What deserves to be written in the book, okay? Only simple things, okay? That's not difficult thing. And also, there is a, by the French philosopher Blaise Pascal. So he's in French, but he's saying, at this time, internet was not here, okay? And Leibniz, Descartes, Pascal, not Malebranche, Mersenne, were sending letters to each other, okay? With some challenges. And at the end of a letter, or to a friend, not to a scientific guy, he wrote, I write a long letter to you, because I had not enough time to write a shorter one. Okay, that's the definition of what is simple. And for people who know the French culture, as you know, Blaise Pascal was not a funny guy, okay? He was very serious, okay? Maybe too much. So simplicity is difficult, but it's a central part of our job, okay? So I think that's very important. So also about the future, so that's the response, answer of Alan Case to his boss. And his boss was asking him at Xeros, what are the future tendencies? How I have to manage a company in order we are not missing money, okay? A good target, okay? And the answer, I like it a lot, the answer of Alan Case was, the best way to predict the future is to invent it, okay? So I think we don't have to be too trendy or too fashionable. And in our case of the lost universality, so it's for Rachid, in our lecture à la recherche du temps perdu, okay, looking for the lost universality. So my personal answer is a paradise never lost because it consists of this own and infinitely recursive quest. So that's all, and that's my contribution as a teacher.